Oh, hello. I didn't notice you there. Welcome, once again, to the Running on Empty podcast. My name is Joe, and today I'll be joined, as usual, by my co-host, Trevor. Hello, Trevor. How are you today?
I'm confused.
I'm so glad that you could join us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Could you pass me a nondescript beverage there, please?
To this very prestigious event.
Yes, quite indeed. You know, I thought today we could tackle a topic that perhaps you would enjoy talking about. Mm-hmm. A suggestion that was brought up by you, of course. but before we do that, I was thinking that perhaps we should tell our listeners at home about our wonderful merch, our wonderful store of apparel with logos of the podcast and such.
I believe you just did. We have those.
Merch, there, that is. Exists a link that will more likely than not be listed in the description of various frivolities down below, as a lot of YouTubers, they do this.
Because wait, the description off screen, there we go.
Yes, yes, quite. Anyway, to hell with this charade. Cheers to you.
My
also
water.
Check out Liquid Death, guys. Oh, yeah. Today's sponsor. They're not really
sponsoring.
They're
not really
this,
the sponsor, but at all. It's just
what is Liquid Death, Trevor? Why don't you tell our friends at home?
It's water.
It's just water, you say.
Water.
Okay.
It's literally just water.
Okay, and why would someone name a can of water Liquid Death? What is the purpose of this
because their
beverage?
One of their main points is that that one, all the like the healthy alternatives are like when you look at buy like purified water or mountain water or something like that, it's always in the fancy bottle with like flowers and happiness, and they're like, no, water is liquid death. Water kills more people than anything else in the world. Water is an apex predator.
That is true. It has the power to sustain life as well as take it. So liquid death, eliminating plastic is their goal, if I...
Yep, and then so basically the cans are, they've made to be easily recycled, and a portion of... I just punched you.
That wasn't important.
Just punched, yeah. But basically a portion of all of their sales is all donated to removing plastic from the oceans.
That's pretty metal.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know. I like it.
And it's Joe Manganiello spearheading this. Is that correct?
He is definitely one of the... He's sponsored by... I think he's sponsored by them.
Oh, he's sponsored by them.
Yeah.
It's not
so.
His actual idea.
I don't know who actually started. Sorry, I was trying to see what fell off the... Billy Bozier.
No.
Okay. We don't acknowledge
you're
it.
You're here.
We don't acknowledge it. But yeah, I don't know. That's how I found out about it. Was just through a video of him, because I follow him through D&D channels and whatnot.
I see.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, now that everyone knows that they can take a look at our merch and buy a t-shirt or a hoodie or some other third thing off of superiorembroidery.com/ROE or whatever the link may actually be. I just made that up.
It is a link.
And now they also are aware of Liquid Death, which we are just plugging for our own sake and not because they're a sponsor.
Hashtag not a sponsor.
What topic today shall we discuss, my good friend?
Well, as you mentioned before, we were talking... I came up with the idea of talking about fantasy in general. What you think of when you hear the term fantasy, what form of fantasy kind of attracts you, and what you would kind of label as fantasy. Because there's some bleed over between like fantasy and science fiction that not a lot of people realize is actually there. Or there is a line.
Sure. I see.
Like, for example... Star Wars. Would you label that as science fiction or fantasy?
You know, I think my first inclination would be to label it as science fiction, but it does kind of seem more like a fantasy thing if you think about it. And that was brought up to me by probably you at one point.
Probably, but basically, I always forget to take the headphones off before we start recording. But basically, how Star Wars is why it is yet it's a space opera.
Mm-hmm.
In terms, it just falls under a fantasy.
Okay.
Genre, but basically because it falls on the fantasy trope, you have the plucky young hero. You have the old wizard that is there to train the plucky young hero but dies in the first act. You have the princess that's in distress. You have magic, which is would be like the Force. It's an unexplained kind of phenomenon. Yeah, it's set in like this like sci-fi futuristic setting, but is very much a fantasy story.
Yeah, the evil empire trope. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all the fantasy tropes are there in Star Wars.
Yeah, I can agree that it is just a fantasy story with a science fiction setting,
mm-hmm.
kind of.
Yeah, because you a lot of science fiction, that's when they usually start breaking down into more of, like, the science because it's science fiction.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, okay, yeah, that's happening because the quantum core of that supernova or whatever, I'm not a genius.
Just mumbo-jumbo.
Yeah, it's like there's science to explain what the event that's happening.
Yeah.
Which in this case isn't which isn't the case for Star Wars. It's like literally the explanation of the Force. It's a thing that binds us, surrounds us, and like penetrates us. It's in all life. The Force is literally a force. It's like it's just basically magic.
Yeah.
Some can use it, some can't.
Yeah. I think you rest your case on that.
Yeah, there's nothing else to say. Yeah. Star Wars is like, that's...
Star Wars is a fantasy, and there you have it.
Yeah, so...
Good episode.
Yeah, so basically, my point with that is saying, like, fantasy comes in many forms. Or, like, there is always those fantasy tropes, but they also are not all the same. So they take, like, manga or anime, like Naruto. Naruto is kind of a fantasy kind of thing, but it's not... our typical fantasy tropes,
yeah,
that you would see in everything, which would be like the princess in distress. Like most shows like that are all fantasy esque, but not at the same time.
Yeah.
So, basically, my question: I'm hoping this is. I'm having all my facts here, but basically, when you hear the term fantasy, what do you think of?
So for me, I think, like, when I just hear the word fantasy, it brings images, like, that you would see or think of when you think of, like, the Feywild in D&D.
Okay.
It is what I kind of feel like fantasy. I think of, like, fairies and pixies and, like, woodland creatures and kind of, like, fairy tale kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Storybooky. Kind of like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and actually I guess like a lot of things from like The Witcher even.
Yeah.
Could be like, that's what I think of like as fantasy.
Especially with The Witcher, a lot of the original source material, like the short stories, a lot of those have direct parallels into basically fairy tales as we know them. Like most people have just mostly just been watching the show at this point. If you take the very first episode, the plot involving Geralt and Renfrey and the princesses imprisoned in towers and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
that is a classic spin on kind of like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. But only in the book version, there were gnomes and like they were all sleeping together, and it was a much different tale. They're almost very much like Grimm's fairy tales in the sense.
Okay.
So.
Hmm. Yeah, I've only seen those two episodes of The Witcher. We gotta watch more of it.
Yeah, it is a very... it's kind of like... A lot of those short stories, even some even later, are very much spins on different things. There's even a lot of Arthurian fantasy and things inside of The Witcher that you don't realize at first, but as you get into later books, you start meeting characters like the Fisher King... and stuff like that. There's a lady in the lake, and then there's this destined sword and all that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really like Excalibur, but it is kind of, like, it kind of follows under the same kind of ideas.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think of when someone says the word fantasy? Like, what kind of imagery comes to mind? Because, like I said, for me, it's a lot of like, just like, purple and pink skies and enchanted forests and things like that is what I think of fantasy.
Like, I just think of this might be the D&D talking, but it's like, I think of a group of adventurers kind of exploring and, like, literally going on an adventure. Okay. Like, I think of, like, one immediately, kind of my gut reaction is, like, I just picture scenes from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Like, the Fellowship or I don't know if they actually had a name, like, Bilbo and the dwarves he was accompanying. Like, these groups just kind of traveling across the land to go and do a thing.
Hmm.
And that's kind of what I think. It's like that whole kind of most fantasy, like your gut, my gut instinct thing of fantasy is just kind of like medieval, like kind of knights in armor. Because that's kind of like where most fantasy is. Not a lot of fantasy will set itself into kind of a more science-based, like a more futuristic era. Now, I think John Carter of Mars might fit into the is probably considered would be considered fantasy. I haven't looked into it too much.
But like Star Trek, though.
Star Trek,
is that more science fiction? Would you say?
I want to say science fiction.
I don't know. I've never really watched.
I haven't seen a lot. I've seen like the newer Star Trek movies. I've seen a lot of the older stuff. So that might be an interesting question. We might have to get a hold of George and Joe.
Yeah, there are Star Trek. Well, George especially.
Yeah,
I recall correctly.
Yeah, let's see how they would view it. I think that would definitely fall into more of the science fiction era.
Because if I'm correct, Star Trek doesn't really have like the Force or like right?
Yeah. So there's no real. I'm actually looking up to see what it's considered. Is Star Trek fantasy or science fiction? Like, I want to say science fiction, but let's see what the internet says. This is credited as science fantasy.
That sounds like Star Wars, then.
Yeah. But I can see where Star Wars would fit more in the fantasy genre than Star Trek, because I'm not aware of any of the kind of, like, magic happening in Star Trek. And what's your story?
Although, I think maybe something that would make Star Trek like a science fantasy, as they call it, is the fact that, again, my limited knowledge on the franchise, is that there are more adventures in that kind of a thing in Star Trek than there is, like, when I think of science fiction, I actually don't really think of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Like, science fiction to me is, I think of, like, Ender's Game.
Okay, yeah, I can see your point there. I know that another thing I just looked up said was saying that Star Wars is roughly considered science fiction, even though it has a lot of fantasy. It follows the main fantasy.
I even think Jurassic Park is more science fiction than like.
No, yeah, just Jurassic Park would definitely be science fiction because there's a, especially the books. There's a lot of science to kind of like try and explain what's happening.
Yeah.
So I would definitely put.
And I feel like it's less about adventure and more about like just kind of. Well, like every story has like a conflict, you know? Like mm-hmm. any good story has conflict, but like I feel like science fiction stories kind of like deal with like a very like dangerous problem that's like.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily have, like, the call to adventure kind of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the people in Jurassic Park aren't, like, adventuring to, like, you know.
Yeah, they aren't there for the sake of, like, going on an adventure. They were hired there.
Actually, what's funny is some of the people kind of were there to take an adventure, but, like, that's not what it, like, became. That's not what the story is about.
Yeah, so to them there was, like, oh, yeah, we're brought in to do consultation because we are the highest, like, we are one of the most recommended people in our fields of study, very much science-based in that, and like I said, the books will go a little bit more deeper into the science than the movie, because is also there for entertainment and can do without a lot of the little things. And but yeah, there's still a lot of science stuff in there, because especially if you go into like the Jurassic World stuff. And then that first movie, like when they break down like different DNA strands and how like they're cloning and stuff like that, that goes into it a little deeper. And same with the second Jurassic World, which I think is just called Jurassic World 2. Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen Kingdom, yeah.
Yeah, that also goes into a lot of more science stuff, basically, about human, like, not humans, but animals interconnecting and stuff like that, and, like, the ecosystem as a whole. So there is a lot of, I would definitely say that's more of science fiction than fantasy, simply by that basis. Because I still think that I would still consider Star Wars fantasy and a science fiction skin, because it has all those tropes. It has those fantasy tropes. The good versus evil, the quest, the mad, like, literally. Like I pulled up a list of fantasy tropes, and it's good versus evil, the quest, like, good versus evil. You have the rebels trying to take down the Empire. The quest. Luke Skywalker is trying to figure out how to become this Jedi Knight and save everyone from the Tyrannical Empire.
He has to go through training and trials, and some parts on is it Dagobah that he's training on, and it feels sort of like Hercules almost, where he has to like almost do like the gauntlet, and he like sees Darth Vader.
Yeah, he's overcoming himself, and then there's magic being the Force, and then medievalism that also fits into Star Wars, because you have the Jedi Knights and like the Sith. They do combat with swords,
yeah,
and stuff like that. And then another one is just races and species. And there are so many different races and species in Star Wars as most other fantasy.
Yeah,
like you don't have your classic elves, goblins, and dwarves, but you do have your fucking Mon Calamari, your Togruta, all these other different Star Wars fucking species.
Well, I think for the average person, you know,
your Wookiees and shit like that. It would
be like Wookiees, and then like the Tusken Raiders, and then droids even could be considered like a race in a way.
Yeah, so there are so many of those different tropes in there, and they're all just kind of disguised under a science fiction skin. Like, that's the whole reason I don't consider it science fiction in that aspect, because it doesn't really talk about the science much. It's always the quest, the bad guy. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And not like, this is happening because X, Y, and Z led to this event, and now we have to overcome this event because all this was caused by this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I definitely would say it's fantasy.
I feel like fantasy also usually has, like, a thematic kind of, like, bad guy or, like, great evil. Like, an evil emperor or, like, something along those lines.
Exactly.
Too. So, like, let me bring one more up, okay?
Go ahead.
Now, Godzilla. That's, like, a horror movie, I guess, kind of. It's, like, a monster movie. But I feel like even that is kind of, like, somewhere along the lines of science fiction in a way, too.
Yeah, I would, too, because especially the earlier...
To an extent.
The earlier movies, they all kind of have, like, this point where they're all kind of talking about what events created Godzilla, like the first one, like, atomic testing and stuff like that led to its creation, and like the newest one, like Shin Godzilla, that was because radiation, like radiation, like overspill, like our excess radiation barrels, like from nuclear plants, were just being put in the ocean, and like they were leaking out, and a bunch of like microorganisms were like feeding off the radiation, and at one point mutated to become Godzilla.
I think so, like things like Godzilla and like Jurassic Park, they maybe have like elements of science fiction, but like I feel like if you ask the average person, they're gonna think like tried and true science fiction does have to deal with space.
Yeah, I don't want to say science fiction has to be just space.
I feel like it doesn't have to be, but like the strongest, most like not strongest, but like the most memorable, even maybe. I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is that when you think of science fiction, what comes to mind is aliens or outer space.
Yeah, or like, because I looked it up, I don't know why I just blanked on this, but basically War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
Is your most classic science fiction story. Definitely. Aliens come and invade Earth, and they're this fucking superpower and stuff like that. So yeah, that's definitely Yeah, that's it. It's because this listener says it's very much including concepts such as advanced science, technology, space exploration, time travel, parallel universe, and extraterrestrial life.
Oh, another fantastic science fiction work is I don't want to say not the X-Files, but the X-Files is not what I'm trying to think of right now. It's, what is that really old show? I'm like just drawing a blank on it right now.
I don't know.
About parallel realities.
Oh, Twilight Zone?
Twilight Zone, yeah.
Yeah, Twilight Zone's a classic. I think it just came back, got rebooted.
I've seen a decent amount of Twilight Zone episodes. Like, a decent, you know, like, I've seen episodes of the Twilight Zone. That's what I'm going to say. I think it's awesome, dude.
I haven't seen much of the Twilight Zone. I remember back, like, around the time those were, like, definitely, like, the old reruns would pop up on television, I would, basically, but at that time, I was just staying up and watching, like, reruns of Alfred Hitchcock Presents. Like, that's what I was watching around that time instead. It's just because that's what I was more into. And, oh, I've been really thinking about going back and rewatching all the Twilight, watching Twilight Zone. Dude,
Twilight Zone, I think, stands the test of time. It's very good. Like, I feel like even by today's standards, like, that people would really probably enjoy the Twilight Zone, and they wouldn't think that they would, because it's an old show. You
a lot
know,
of like, times, like, I've been looking back lately, especially lately, on the old, like, campy stuff, and I'm like, man, that's just really nice.
Yeah, and some of it's really not even that campy. Like, there's definitely campy stuff in the Twilight Zone, don't get me wrong, but, like, from what I've seen, though, there's actually a lot of stuff that it's like, okay, I get it, though. Like, they were in a time where they were working with limited special effects. A lot of it was not, what do you call it when it's not practical effects?
Yeah, but you have practical effects.
They were dealing with a lot of practical effects and, like, just limitations in technology and stuff. So it comes off as campy, but, you know, it's like,
certain shots of practical effects fucking hold up. I mean, to me, even to this day, like, some of the shots of the T-Rex in the original Jurassic Park, I'm like, man, that fucking holds up.
Yeah, because Star Wars is another, again, like, from the 70s and 80s, or 70s, right?
Yeah, I think it's the 70s.
Yeah.
I think the first one came out in 70... I'm just gonna pull it up so we are being forthright. I'm not
sure. I don't think any of them did come out in the 80s. Unless it was, like, 81 or something like that.
Maybe, yeah, it might have been it, but I'm trying to pull
it up. But regardless, you know, for a long time ago, you know, 40-plus years now.
New Hope came out in 77.
Okay.
So that would put at least one of them in the 80s, I believe.
More likely than not, right?
Yeah, so Empire came out in 80. Empire came out 83 years after A New Hope, and I want to say 83 on Return of the Jedi. Am I right? 1983, nice. Return of the Jedi.
Well, congratulations, but at the same time, that's neither here nor there. That's, you know, besides the point. The point being that, like, these are, you know, pretty old.
Yeah.
You know, works of film, and they used a lot of practical effects, and I mean, they look better, like, than things that came out in the 90s that used practical effects.
Like, there's there's a documentary on Disney Plus documenting, like, Star Wars, the original trilogy being made, and, like, you get to see George Lucas and them shoot that opening crawl.
Really?
Yeah, it was literally, like, I think it was, like, this piece of, like, cardboard or something, like, laid out on the floor with, like, all the words on it, and they would just
pan
the camera down over it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, it's an old documentary. It's just documenting, like, the birth of Star Wars, and it was, like, from what I've watched, it was wonderful. I haven't finished it. I need to go back and finish it sometime.
Yeah, but that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's worth a watch. You learn a good bit. Like, basically, the whole idea of starting with the, like, another, that's another people's complaint about Star Wars. It starts with the, like, the end trilogy, like, the middle, well, now the middle trilogy, Like, it starts with the ending and then goes back to the beginning, like with the prequels. And I kind of like it for that. I think it, to me, it makes more sense that they started with the ending and then went back and did, like, the prequels and all that. Because he, George Lucas, from the start, had six movies in mind. He had a six-movie plan.
And, really?
Yeah, for, like, he all, more of, like, he had, like, the first three movies definitely kind of planned out. But he had basically the outline for six. And he purposely went with the first three.
Hmm.
I could be getting that information mixed up. Don't crucify me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure, like, 97% sure.
That seems really, like, weird. Because I thought it was cool when I was a kid, but now that I'm, like, older, I feel like this, okay? If there's, like, a series and, like, they decide to do, like, a prequel, I feel like the prequel can be good, but oftentimes it's really hard to make a prequel good, well, even more so, potentially, than making a sequel good.
Well, that, and I think it worked out a little bit special effects-wise, because for the reasoning that I'm kind of looking at the state of the world. The state of the world we first pick up on Star Wars from the 1977. Basically, like, if you look at, let's take the state of lightsaber fighting.
Mm-hmm.
From then, like, you're in a state where there was really no people practicing with lightsabers or fighting with lightsabers. With Vader and Ben being, or Obi-Wan being the exceptions. They would, like, their duels mostly fencing moves. And then, as the next two movies go, they get more in-depth and more in-depth. Because Luke's going from the basics to a more advanced style. You go back to, then when the prequels come out, those lightsaber fights are fucking off the wall. If you think about it, that's when the Jedi are at the height of their power. What are they going to do all day? They're just a fucking police force. Well, not even that. They're like a fucking bunch of monks. They're just going to sit there and practice their moves all day. So, which would explain the more advanced techniques.
I suppose that makes some sense.
That's just kind of how I was looking at it. And in the state of the Empire, like, wouldn't want to, like, move techno, like, wouldn't want to, like, too much advancement happening that they were in control of, so thus, I don't know, it's just kind of how I've rationalized it in my head, and
although, I think something about Star Wars is that, like, if you look at the universe as a whole,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter whether it's canon or not anymore, like, looking at the universe as a whole, it's like, dude, thousands of years have gone by, and technology really hasn't, like, improved very much.
No, because it's like, it's a civilization that's almost, like, hit its peak. Like, there's not much improvement that needs to be done. Like, they've already figured it out, so there's no reason to. And plus, now, recently, over the past 100 or so years, it's just been war after war after war.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, that's just how I'm looking at it. Maybe I'm over-rationalizing it. I like Star Wars, and I
like Star Wars.
And it's fine. I definitely am interested in hearing more about, like, whatever side stories Disney has planned.
Yeah.
Because as they showed The Mandalorian, that shit works.
Mandalorian seems cool, too. Again, though, I haven't seen very much of it. But Mandalorian and The Witcher both, they look really good, man. Yeah. I'm looking forward to finishing them out. So let me ask you this, though, if we can step away from Star Wars maybe for a minute.
Okay.
So, like, when thinking about fantasy, you know, we already kind of talked about, like, okay, when someone says the word fantasy, like, what kind of images, like, you know, do you think of? What kind of archetypes do you like in fantasy? Because, you know, there's really nothing new under the sun. Every story that could be told has pretty much been told now, and we can only kind of reflavor, reskin stories that have already been told or put different twists on them. Which, don't get me wrong, it's not a bad thing. That's just kind of how it is. Like, coming up with an original idea is going to be pretty tough nowadays, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me just give you a quick example. So, like, I think, like, I don't know if this is necessarily, like, a fantasy thing or not, but, like, kind of makes me think of Macbeth, like, stories that show a character progression get me pretty excited, mm-hmm. especially one from where our hero turns to evil. I really like. Although vice versa can be interesting too, where a villain turns to good.
Uh-huh.
Or also like when the villain and the, you know, hero kind of end up working together in the end to mm-hmm. meet a common enemy that they have. I always like that. And then even beyond that, those are just kind of themes. Excuse me. Those are like themes I like, but like actual physical like things I like to see. I think it's always cool when something like with werewolves come out.
Okay.
And that I think is like kind of a big fantasy, but also tiptoes horror can kind of be both because werewolves are like rooted in mythology.
Yeah.
And I've been talking for a long time now, so I'm going to shut up and let you talk.
Okay, so the basic question is what kind of fantasy like tropes or elements?
Yeah, like tropes, archetypes, like what do you think is really fun to see in fantasy stories?
I'm always pleasantly surprised to see, I don't know if this follows, it quite is what you're meaning, but I'm always pleasantly surprised and excited to see elements of like Arthurian like elements in there, like oh, like either the once and future king or like stuff like that, or like it's like oh, these are these knights or whatever, they're on, they're like this group, they're on a quest to do this thing, and whether this thing is like whether it's important or not, I like the idea of it. Like there's this movie series called Mythica, and it started off with this girl just wanting to be an adventurer and go out and take jobs and do stuff like that, and it falls along the same like those D&D tropes, like, you know, they go and they meet at, or they don't exactly meet at a bar, but they go and they take this job, and this job takes them on this adventure that causes, that has all these whimsical things that are happening, and it doesn't always have to be whimsical. You can get into the darker stuff, because sometimes, like say, like Lord of the Rings and stuff can get pretty dark with some of the content it's handling. But I guess what it boils down to, I appreciate Arthurian like legend and fantasy being brought in, because I'm just a sucker for Arthurian fantasy. Like the my book you had, this book, which is called Cursed, is in fact a Arthurian, based on Arthurian like Arthurian legend, and stuff like that. So it comes in, so. Besides that, I'm a sucker for character progression and watching and learning how these characters like interact with each other, and how these like, I don't say relationships, but these relationships progress over like between if it's multiple movies or books or whatever, like watching these characters change and grow. Like, I haven't read it. I keep always meaning to either pick it up on Audible or just find a collection of them at Barnes & Noble or something, is a book series called Dragonlance.
I think I've heard of that, but I don't know anything about it.
Dragonlance, it's actually been adopted as a D&D setting now, the world of Dragonlance. It is like that, your fantasy adventuring like group, but it focuses less on like the whole plot of like world destruction or domination. Are we going to stop all this crazy shit from happening, or Tiamat from returning, which I think is a plot line in the book series, or Vecna Rising, which I believe is also a plot series in the book series, and more on the relationships between these characters. And moving forward, I am a big fan of character growth and see watching how these characters evolve, and that's what keeps me tuning in. Like, yeah, all the cool... Like,
you'd really like Naruto, then.
It's like, seeing a character that starts here, like, I will say one of the... Like, it's one of the coolest character arcs has been, like, Kylo in the new Star Wars trilogy. I've really enjoyed his arc. He's been a very tormented character, and seeing him kind of come to terms with himself.
Potential spoilers.
Yeah, fuck it. It's been really, was a really nice ride. I really like that. Like, especially, like, take Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones characters have gone on arcs since they began. Like, a character you're like, oh man, that dude's a fucking piece of shit in season one. By season eight, you're like, man, I'm rooting for this guy now, because I know who he is, I know what he's thinking, and why he's done the things he does, because you got to know the character, and you got to see the character grow and mature over time. Like, that's just kind of stuff I enjoy, and plus always having those cool, like, adventuring moments, like the fucking finding a ring in the bottom of a cave. Or stuff like that. That's always, those are always cool stories and stuff, and always glad to have him, but having those nice character-driven stories really helps.
Yeah, I can pretty much agree with that. Like, yeah. The character progression's pretty important to me. I mean, I would definitely rather see characters, like, put up against tough situations and have to make hard calls and decisions, because that's where you really get to see who someone is.
Yeah.
You know, then, like, I guess, like, I value that more than, like, the consistency of a character. Because mm-hmm. if you keep a character too consistent, I don't know if this is making any sense, but, like, it almost makes them seem kind of flat and predictable.
It's, yeah, no, I get what you mean. Like, there you don't want a character who's going to be the same. No, it's like, oh, yes, I'm just the hero. I'm here to do hero things. It's like watching someone who maybe... I'm going to use this as an example because this is an interesting character arc that I really enjoy. Because me and Nugget were just talking about this because we were fans of Digimon growing up.
Yeah.
And take their... Because in the original anime, they have, like, they're basically their group that's led by a guy named Tai. And throughout the show, he's like the de facto leader, because he was the one that's like, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to be up in, like, I'm going to make sure, like, let's keep this going forward. And, like, yeah, they've had, like, he has squabbles and stuff and has to make the right choices all the time. But he was always, like, that core part of his character was that he was always like, yes, I will help inspire my friends and stuff so we can get this shit done. And then the sequel movies that came out, Digimon Try, you see him, he's starting to realize things he didn't realize before when he was younger. Like, oh, man, people are dying. People are getting hurt because of these things that we are doing. Like, I can't do this. Like, and that's a major thing that's holding him back for most of the second series, is just he's realized this whole thing that he gotta be more aware of. And it really starts to become a detriment to them, like, fixing the problem at hand, because he's holding them back by the fact that he can't do it. And he then comes to terms with, like, we have to do this, because if we don't, no one will, and stuff like that. But it's always nice.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's always nice to have those characters have those arcs. But you take the Pokemon anime, and you just have Ash, who's been Ash.
I think that Pokemon anime is pretty terrible, and I think enough people have really talked about how terrible it is that it doesn't even need to be rehashed by us.
Yeah, I'm not saying rehashed, but it's a basic example, because I haven't watched a lot of it since I was a kid. And
I've heard the new one is actually pretty good.
Okay, I might have to check it out. But it's always this kind of thing where I don't feel like Ash has much character growth.
He doesn't. That's the issue, is that it's funny when he's, like, dorky and doesn't know anything in the first half of the first season, but, like, you know, in the second half of the first season, and it's not even, I don't have a problem with Ash being a rookie for a long time. I have an issue with the fact that, like, he continuously makes stupid decisions, doesn't ever seem to learn from his mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
And also, if you're
and he does it also seem like he might take his friends for granted sometimes, yeah, just because he has Pikachu.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Another good character arc that I just thought of would be Vegeta.
Yeah,
Vegeta's had a hell of an arc. Like, he came in as, like, this fucking villain and was a shithead for a while, and then even when he started siding with the good guys, he was still kind of a shitty character, like a shitbag. But then, like, towards the end, like, especially the Buu arc, he began redeeming himself for his actions, and, like, he still...
Even in that arc, though, he had struggles with the Majin.
And then in Super, he's had leaps and bounds where you can tell he's a reformed character. Like, there's a point where there's this event happening, I think it might have been, like, part of, like, lead up into the Tournament of Power, where they had to do, like, a preliminary thing before the Tournament of Power was a thing, like, just an exhibition match between another universe for the sake of, like, the Omni King or whatever.
Yeah.
And Goku was like, Vegeta, we gotta go do this. Like, you're literally... We're equals here. We gotta go. And Vegeta's like, no, man, my kid's about to be born. I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
And...
I think Vegeta's
it
shown to be, one of the best character development
Yeah, if you take that parallel to when Trunks, his first kid was born, he up and left. He was in space trading. But then you take him a few years later, and he's there. Like, he doesn't want to leave. He wants to be there.
Yeah.
And he's definitely one of the characters with the most growth. Like, Goku hasn't had much growth.
Yeah, aside from physically, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like... always had a pure heart, you know? Yeah. But, like, he doesn't really get much more interesting, I feel like.
Yeah, he doesn't have much character development, especially lately.
Yeah.
Piccolo's had a hell of a fucking story as well, going from a guy who wanted to rule the Earth to he's one of the guys that's there protecting it.
Yeah.
Piccolo's had a good arc. Like, there are characters that had really good arcs.
I feel like Super, though, Dragon Ball Super is just so much better than Dragon Ball Z in terms of, like, having a good story.
Yeah,
That's just my personal opinion.
I think so. I definitely find myself have been more excited for Super stories than Dragon Ball Z stories.
Even though, like, Dragon Ball Z, I have, like, a lot of, like, nostalgia for certain arcs and stuff, and some of the villains, I think, are really awesome.
Like...
But, like, I feel like, objectively, it's just, like, Super just is better at telling the story.
Yeah, like, one of my favorite arcs by far has to be, the fucking Future Trunks Goku Black stuff.
Yeah.
That's such a riveting story. You're like, what's going on here? And then you realize the villain's Goku?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they played that one really well.
Yeah, and that was a really well story. That was probably one, like, the manga version of it apparently was not as good as the anime because, basically with Dragon Ball Super, it was Toriyama is basically is overseeing the anime. And then he has direct involvement with the anime. He just oversees the manga to where there's this guy named Toyotaro who's writing it and drawing it, but following kind of outlines by Toriyama, and it's not as good. But Toriyama apparently he isn't like doing full writing and full drawing, but he is definitely working more on the story with Toyotaro for this new arc featuring Moro, which is apparently like from what I've seen of it has been quite the exciting journey. Like,
I don't know anything about the manga, really.
Yeah, it's most of it's been pretty much the same. Some things are different. Like, Vegeta's form that he gets in the Tournament of Power, if you remember that, I think it's called Blue Evolution, isn't in the manga. It's just called Full Power Blue. And, basically, we're with Moro. He was like this person who was imprisoned by by the Grand Supreme Kai. And he isn't a fighter. He isn't a, like, brawler like most villains we've had. He's literally, like, a wizard.
Like, the ram-looking guy.
Yeah, literally, his ability, he just absorbs energy from planets. He's known as Moro, the Planet Eater. Like, he literally goes and just devours all the energy from a planet and just leaves it a lifeless husk.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and it's kind of like this story that's, like, it's kind of like, all right, especially it's become one of the better stories of the manga. Like, the Broly story didn't even happen in the manga.
It was
one page that was, like, Goku and Vegeta went on a different adventure. Or, like, went on... Like, it basically said that still happened in the manga, but they didn't cover it. So, it's good, and it's been mainly the reason why I wanted to start getting more into the manga, just so I can follow the story with Moro, because I don't think we're going to get it in anime form.
Maybe not.
So because it's been over a year since the anime's been off, and there hasn't really been an announcement.
Yeah, well, it's other than maybe the fact, in the future.
Other than the fact there's another movie on its way.
Oh, okay.
So we got Super Broly, and we're going to get another movie after that. So maybe they'll take the Moto arc and just...
Make it a movie.
Yeah, maybe. Or they'll do something else, but we'll see. I kind of like the idea of them like bringing back old villains and redoing them in a new way, so...
Yeah.
I think.
Huh. Okay. Well,
what do you...
Anything else that you want to cover?
No. So basically, my question to you is what kind of fantasy... But I know you mentioned werewolves, for example, but like what kind of excites you when it comes to like fantasy kind of stories?
Well, like I said, man, really like the character development. I like to see... Like I said, like I really like when good men like, kind of you turn like to the dark side.
Okay, okay.
You know, like the Anakin kind of story.
All right, I wasn't sure for sure if that was
That would probably be my answer. A Death Note is kind of another really good example of that, where someone with, like, benevolent ideas and, you know, wants to make the world a better place, as soon as he's given the power to do that, ends up corrupting him.
So it's kind of like that old Dark, the Dark Knight saying from, like, the Nolan trilogy. It's like, either you die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become a villain.
Yeah, and that's actually kind of true, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good quote. But yeah, I like seeing that. And then, you know, also, I just like kind of the, I don't know, I just like when things are fun, you know? Okay. When I see a fantasy, I don't always value, like, yes, it's cool when they make, like, a statement about, you know, like, either a political statement or something like that. Like, there's a bigger, like, deeper message behind what's going on. That is cool. But at the same time, man, I feel like nowadays, like, if something, like, doesn't have that, like, people that are, like, critics are, like, you know, well, it's just kind of boring and da-da-da. And it's, like, whatever happened to just, like, a story just being fun? You know, like...
I get that. There are definitely points in time where I'm like, man, I just want, like, a lighthearted, fun story to read.
Yeah, and I mean, like, something doesn't even have to be, like, necessarily, like, lighthearted, I guess, for it to be fun. Yeah, I think the Harry Potter series is kind of, like, unless, you know, like, I'm a dummy or something and I don't see the deeper meaning behind Harry Potter.
I mean, I don't think there's much of a deeper meaning. Like, I know the last few books are definitely dark.
But, like,
but I mean, you want, like, more of a, more fun tone. Not everything has to be like, oh, Groot, gloom, and doom.
Like, you know, Harry Potter, like, for me, and again, maybe this is just a big oversight for me, okay? But, like, I read all the books, and I've watched all the movies, okay? I like Harry Potter. It's a great series. And it didn't, like, make me take away, like, some sort of, like, life lesson after I read that series. Mm-hmm. I was just like, damn, that was really fun to read. Like, I loved it. But, like, you know, I didn't feel like I was like, now I really understand what the author wanted to convey there. And, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just missing it. But to me, if I'm not missing anything and there's really not a deeper meaning,
mm-hmm.
that's fine, dude. Like, Harry Potter's an awesome series.
All right, I got a book series to pitch to you.
Okay.
Okay. I haven't read it since I was in high school, but you might have already read it. But it's a book series called Pendragon.
No, I've also heard of that, but I don't know anything about it really.
I will give you
isn't there like a kid that finds a dragon egg? Is that what that's about?
No. This isn't that one. I don't know what that one. No, that's Aragorn.
Oh,
that's Aragorn. I do like that series. I do recommend reading it. It's worth it. I listened to the audiobook for that recently. That's kind of dark, which also has got its moments. It's also very much a medieval retelling of Star Wars.
Okay.
In a way.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But basically, Pendragon is the story of this boy named Bobby Pendragon. He's like 14. And basically, his uncle one day comes to him. He's like, hey, kid, you gotta come with me. And he's like, but Uncle Preston, I got a fucking basketball game. I can't fucking go and do that. So basically, his uncle tells him that he's part of this person, like, I think they're called, like, travelers. And what they do is they go from, I think they're called territories, but it's like, basically, there's, like, this multiverse. And the travelers are people that go from universe to universe, stopping, like, kind of making sure the natural order is in place and stopping multiversal threats. And so him and his uncle go on this venture, and he finds out there's this guy named Saint Dane, who's basically trying to fuck with the multiverse as a whole. Like, fuck with all these different, like, universes. And it's like 12 books. I loved the shit out of it when I first read it. I want to get them again and reread them. They're definitely kind of like a more, I guess, considered more of like young adult novels or something like that, because I definitely read them when I was in high school, and they're more definitely geared in that manner. But I listened to it in an audiobook form half of the first book recently, and it still holds up. I still found it an entertaining story.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's just me being a fan of the book series or what, but I definitely say yeah, it's worth it. Otherwise, another series I read, it's not lighthearted, it's definitely more horror, that I read in high school that it's still kind of near and dear to me, even though I don't own the books, would be the Demonada series, written by Darren Shan, the guy that wrote Cirque de Freak.
I was going to say, like, I kind of conflated those two for just a brief moment there, because I was like, is that the Cirque de Freak series? But I thought, like, maybe it was just called Demonada or something.
No, no, they're two different series. Yeah, like, Cirque de Freak is one thing, and the Demonada is a little, I think they, like, cross over a little bit at some point, I don't really know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but Demonada really focuses more on, like, demons and devils and stuff like that. Like, there's literally one of the books opens up with these demons on a fucking plane, and a spider demon rips out this fucking dude's eye and starts squirting eggs in there and shit.
Okay.
Yeah, it gets gruesome. It's wonderful.
Huh.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's also like one of those books I read like maybe was 10 years ago now, but that I still really enjoy. I do definitely recommend it. Or is it just throwing books your way? I mean,
I don't think I'm ever gonna read Demonada.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're not good with gory stuff.
No, especially like that squeezing eggs into a guy's eye holes that he like didn't even put soy sauce in there afterward, did he?
Let me put soy sauce.
I don't know, because, like, why would you put eggs in something unless you're going to eat it? And then soy sauce sounds like it'd be pretty good.
The demon was laying eggs.
Oh, okay. He's laying eggs. Okay, gotcha. Well, maybe the soy sauce fertilizes demon eggs.
You know what? Let's just...
Hey, new book idea.
Soy sauce and demon eggs. Let's get them.
Okay. I think maybe we ought to wrap it there.
Okay, we'll wrap it there. Demon eggs and soy sauce. Why is this here? This is just on my desk.
That's why I just kind of like randomly said soy sauce.
So I think I like made a fish and rice the other morning.
Yeah.
And I didn't have soy sauce.
Gosh, dude, sushi sounds so good.
Dude, I've been craving it, but I'm broke. All right, so that's neither here nor there. We have been the Running on Empty podcast. We have things to plug. The Takeoff podcast, too. Dalton's our guy, Dalton. He's got a podcast. It's probably not on Stitcher. If it is, and we aren't.
Wouldn't that be wild?
Yeah, if he got the Takeoff on Stitcher, but not the Running on Empty podcast. Have to just go and spank him.
I'd be so disappointed.
In him, or yeah, just in general?
Just in general.
Just in general?
Just in general. Yep. But yeah, the Takeoff podcast.
Yep. It goes live every Monday, unless you're your normal YouTube.
Oh yeah, so one must have come out today.
Yeah, one
I didn't. I haven't seen it yet.
I did watch it because I was busy with work, and I was kind of distracted listening to the D&D podcast I've been listening to the past couple of days.
Dungeons and Daddies.
Dungeons and Daddies, not a BDSM podcast.
Yeah. I listened to a little more of that, and it was pretty good.
Dude, there was an episode I was on where they were literally bullying a dragon for being a bad dad.
Oh, no.
And they have, at the point where I'm at now, they have fucked the city of Neverwinter.
I got to the part where they, like, crashed the car or whatever into a purple vortex, and the one dad's like, does this thing have OnStar? And he's like, no, so they call AAA.
It's such a lighthearted... fucking series. It gets messed up. Like, the part I'm at now, like, they're in this tower in the middle of Neverwinter, and they found a bag of magic beans.
Oh, no.
And unwittingly, they just threw it at a guy who was down an elevator shaft, and four beans came out, and it's just been causing destruction in the city of Neverwinter. But yeah, okay, so sorry, we got off topic there.
Enough of a tangent there.
So yeah, but yeah.
Closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts, go read a fucking book, you plebeians.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just called you plebeians.
Words are hard.
Yeah.
Reading a book is a good idea. That's what I was trying to say.
You can even read a comic. A comic is acceptable. It is still a book. Don't let anyone steer you wrong because there are pictures.
Yeah, that's why it's called a comic book. Duh.
Book. Yeah. Yeah, so read a book. I would recommend reading a book. Watch a movie. Like, I mean, eventually I'm going to change it to where you can't see my fucking movie collection and all my mess on it. You're just going to look at my books and all my D&D bullshit.
Okay. Yeah. That's aggressive language.
Yeah, what are you going to do about it? All right, so yeah, so running into plugs, you can follow me at Octopus Inc. Blots at everything.
Yep, and I'm on Twitter at ROE Tengu, and you can also follow Running on Empty at ROE Org on Twitter.
If you're listening, tweet at Dalton something like it's on or ignition.
Yeah,
or
something. Just, I don't know. Just, yeah, I was just, working or, and I was like, I'm not doing this right now.
Or even yet, tweet at Dalton and just say the word Stitcher.
Yeah, that would be really funny.
So yeah, you can find us on most podcast platforms. I don't have the list in front of me.
Including YouTube, which we hope you're viewing.
Yeah, I'm going to put it up my wall so we just can just look up and see it. Or I'm just going to put another monitor up there. That might be a better idea. That
would be rad.
Just get a small TV.
Oh, that would be rad, Dad.
TV up there.
But yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, leave a like. You know, subscribe to us, maybe.
Like, comment, and obey.
Definitely comment. That's more important to me than subscribing, probably.
Oh, man, I forgot
because
that one.
I like talking to people. And then there was something else,
merch?
Too.
Yeah, there's merch. I mean, I got rid of the cue card for some reason. We had a cue card. Plug social and merch. We have done that.
I remember what it was. We have a Facebook page, too.
Oh, though. Yeah, Facebook
and
page.
And I don't think we plugged it last time.
No, we don't. Go give the Facebook page a like.
Yeah, because all of our videos, I believe, if I'm correct on this, our Facebook page posts our videos when they come out.
That's me.
Okay, Trevor.
I post them from the Facebook page
Trevor,
as they come out.
Himself.
I take time out of my morning. Granted,
I thought it was magic. I thought it was...
No. It's not like an auto thing. Like,
I thought it was pure fantasy.
Fuck off! We love you,
Petronov.